Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to ByteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.ByteRadio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my guest, Ani Anderson, is on a mission to make sure that women never ask themselves, "What's wrong with me?" ever again. Author of Find Your Soul's Agenda and co-creator of the Sensation-Based Mindset Coaching, Ani has been in the personal development industry for nearly 20 years. It wasn't until her own life fell apart and needed to become her own client that she was able to take pieces from her training in rehabilitation, energy healing, and coaching to create a powerful yet simple system that healed her own life and since hundreds of other people as well. Ani believes that we are all craving a connection with something greater than ourselves and also the freedom to express that vitality with others. Ani sees her clients come alive when they find their soul's agenda, often commenting that it makes their whole life make sense. Ani and her husband teach coaches, therapists, and healers how to use Find Your Soul's Agenda and other sensation-based mindset strategies. You can find out more by visiting the website, AniAnderson.com, or also you can find more information about Find Your Soul's Purpose by visiting FindYourSoul'sPurpose.com. So let me go ahead, FindYourSoul'sAgenda.com. I'm sorry, I got that wrong. FindYourSoul'sAgenda.com. So with that, I'd like to welcome Ani to the show. Good day.
Hi there, Robert.
Well, I'm so happy to have you here. I always like being able to help our listeners get a little bit more insight. So I'm sure after today's discussion, you know, we will. So the idea of, you know, finding your soul's agenda, can you tell us a little bit about, you know, the idea that, you know, that there would be, quote, an agenda? What would a sample soul's agenda look like?
Yeah, I love that word agenda. It was picked very intentionally because sometimes there are these times when it feels like life is having its way with us. And we think, what is it about? Why is this happening to me? What am I to learn here? Some of us take it as a lesson. What am I to learn here? And so that word agenda is really powerful because we often have our own agenda. We have our own personal agenda. Maybe at the beginning of the week or the beginning of the day, we'll sit down and we'll plot out what our agenda is. But then sometimes it's like life has its own agenda, it seems.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah. Right? So that's one of the reasons why I love this concept of the soul's agenda. So a person's soul agenda is very unique, but I can describe my own so that you can understand kind of how it works.
Perfect, yeah.
The
yeah.
soul agenda, does that sound good?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the soul.
That's exactly
soul
what
agenda.
I wanted. That's exactly what I wanted to go ahead and have our listeners just get an idea of what that would look like.
The soul agenda is described in very practical language, and the reason is because we want people to use it. If it's not practical, people will forget about it and not use it. So it's very practical language. The soul's agenda is described in a word. And that word is defined, and that word is defined by us, not by the dictionary. It's defined by us. And then that definition is extrapolated, not just in how we love to experience life, but we also talk about it in the polarity or how sometimes life shows up, but we don't really like it, but it seems to show up that way in kind of a patterned way. So it's got the word, the definition, the polarity, and then we create a soul agenda statement. And that statement really helps to guide our decision-making. So I'll tell you mine, and that will give a little reference. So my soul agenda word is the word alive. And I define the word alive kind of in two ways. So one way is to feel fully expressed in the expression of life and all of the emotions. So that's one way. And the other way that I describe feeling alive is deep presence in the present moment. And within that is a very connected feeling with others or nature or whatever is in the circumstances. So that's how I define feeling alive. You know, you talk to five other people, they would give you different definitions of what feeling alive means. But for me, that's it. So that's my word and my definition. My polarity is how life tends to show up sometimes, even though I don't like it, it seems to show up this way. It's the opposite of what I feel like when I'm alive. So it's like not expressing myself fully. Confusion is a way that that shows up. It's also a numbness to life, a lack of presence or a disconnection with people around me. So that's my polarity. And then the soul agenda statement is, for me, my soul agenda is to feel alive and to teach other people how to feel the same. So that statement helps me to guide my decision-making in life. So that's just an example of how that works for me.
Okay. Well, you know, it's interesting because, you know, boiling it down to one word, you know, alive. And then as you were going through and describing the various aspects, to me it was in one way it was kind of such a high level that can, there are so many unlimited numbers ways of expressing, you know, being alive. So I mean, it's like totally wide open for how it can express itself. So, I mean, to me, that's great. But also, I can see where that when it comes to making daily decisions, you know, that would be very useful. I mean, as far as to try to make sure that the decision is in alignment with, you know, that.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, sometimes people's words will be things like love, or one of my favorites recently is unlimited or a whole. And so it's great to have this idea of who we are and what we're here to experience in the world. But again, if we don't have a practical way to use it, we just won't. And so the definition really helps us to get a flavor of what that means. And then it can help us direct our decision-making in a very practical way, so that, for example, the woman who likes to feel whole, her soul agenda is to feel whole, she can start asking herself, will this decision help me to feel whole? And in that way, it can help her to guide her decision-making. And I just want to give a caveat, even though we might not even be there yet in this conversation, the soul agenda is about how you feel, but it's also about how you impact others. And so part of the decision-making process is knowing that sometimes it's really important to me, and when it is, I'm going to go with that decision to help me feel the way I really want to feel in life, knowing how important that is. But also sometimes, you know, it doesn't seem like it really matters all that much. So if this person who likes to feel whole were to make a decision and she would ask herself, does this decision make me feel whole? And, you know, it kind of like, I don't know, or it doesn't really matter, then we would look toward the other. Will this decision help other people feel whole? And it's not that the decision is made because we know it will, because each person has the capacity to choose how they want to feel and how they interpret things, but it sets us up for success, for showing up authentically in all situations, in every aspect of life.
I can see where that would be very useful, you know, and really kind of, it's kind of like just a guiding principle, something real quick that you can really examine. It's something simple that you can bring in quickly and examine the choices to be made, and then choose one that's most in alignment. Now, does a soul's agenda, is it one of these cases where it's a lifetime direction, or can a soul's agenda change?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I tell people when they ask me that question to check with me in 30 years. And I say that kind of jokingly because I don't know. I've only been at it for a number of years. But what I can tell you is in the years that I have been doing this, I've worked with some clients for many years, and I've never seen a soul agenda change in terms of the word. What I have seen is a redefining of the definition, and that's pretty cool. So we get to a place where we've grown and we've evolved, and we recognize that the definition isn't quite right, so people start to tweak, it's a little bit more about this, it's a little bit more about that, and really redefine, who they are. But it's funny, every once in a while, and I've done this myself, a client will say to me, I don't think this is my word anymore, and we'll do it again, and it's the same word. I mean, this has happened a handful of times, and we just joke about it. It's kind of funny when it happens. I'll say, okay, we'll do it again. We'll see. And it comes up with the same word, and they're like, darn it.
Yeah.
Get rid of it.
Okay, well, that's good to know. I was, that was just one of the I was curious about, and like I said earlier, the word, each of those words would allow for such a variety of expression. And like you say, as people go through it, it gets tweaked or better defined or more defined for the individual, as time goes on.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that does allow for variety and even major change in the way that things can be expressed.
Mm-hmm.
So that, that allows for people's journeys to kind of be very dramatically different. Yeah, I mean, they're mm-hmm. during periods of their life, but also still be on the same path, so to speak.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I had a woman who was working with the word empowered, and when she found me, she felt very disempowered in her own life. And so we found her soul agenda word, and it was empowered, and she did work with me for probably about 2 years. She's really, really into it. And she got to the place where, boy, she was empowering just so many aspects of her own life. And her definition of the word empowered had a lot to do with being witnessed by others, like, being seen in her empowerment, being appreciated for her empowerment. And after about 2 years, when she decided that it was time to redo her definition, she ended up taking that part out. She didn't need that part anymore. And it was way more about her feeling within herself and what it felt like to influence others even, so the flavor of the definition changed. Actually, just had somebody do a redefinition recently who their definition was about, let me see if I can get it right. My soul's agenda is to give myself permission to feel passion. That's where she started. And she got to a place in her own development where she was really able to start giving herself permission to feel whatever she was feeling in life. And so she decided it was time to graduate that word permission. She didn't need to feel like she needed to give herself permission anymore. It was okay to just feel passion. And so that's another example. It's just like a really fabulous testament to her own growth, that she had started where she was needing to give herself permission and then got to the place where she didn't need to do that anymore.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, I mean, it is interesting because the focus of that one was for the empowerment was external to internal, and hers was, what was hers again? It seemed like hers was kind of more internal outward.
Yeah.
The empowerment.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, that just kind of, you know, this is one of the things where I think that, you know, people who are going through questioning what their, you know, soul's agenda or, you know, what their purpose is, you know, when they're going through that questioning, to recognize that it, it can take very different shapes and sizes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, I think that's part of the cool unfolding.
Yeah. Now, in your book, you say that one of the things, that interesting chapter was that you say when trying to be normal is dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably a good number of listeners who would really like to know a little bit more about that perspective. You know, trying to fit in, how that's working out.
I just saw a bumper sticker yesterday. It said something about being normal, and I was just, like, laughing to myself about my own stance on this. You know, we look out at the world, and we see so many statistics about how unhealthy people are, how unhappy people are, how much medication we're on. And, you know, I think it's really ironic because so many people are striving to be normal. Like, they think something's wrong with them. And so they're striving to be normal, feeling like perhaps that will help them to feel more love and acceptance, which is something that we all need in our lives, is to feel that love and acceptance. And so my point about striving to be normal is dangerous is that really what, for the most part, in my experience in working with people, people are doing when they're striving to be normal is they're striving to fulfill the shoulds of society and of the people that they grew up with. They're striving to attain certain levels of success that have been determined by other people, what your life should look like, what your marriage should look like, what you should eat, what you should do, blah, blah, blah. It's like so heavy. When if we just really tapped in with who we are naturally and align ourselves with nature, we've forgotten that we're natural as humans, many of us. If we can really align ourselves with nature and really be who we are, then it can lift some of those burdens of shoulds and those outward successes that, you know, are somebody else's dream or whatever. And then in that way, we actually will become more healthy and whole. We won't be a part of the statistics anymore. And ironically enough, when we take that massive leap of faith in order to do that, we will find people who actually genuinely love and appreciate us for who we are in our natural state, in our authenticity. And I think that's really at the crux of what it comes down to when we look at making this leap, is the fear that maybe we won't be loved. And that fear kind of comes up to meet us sometimes in the impression that we are being rejected or the impression that we aren't fitting in. But when we keep walking towards our authenticity, yeah, I see it all the time, time and time again, people find those fulfilling relationships that they're really looking for in all aspects of life when they just keep on the path there.
The one thing that, you know, when it comes time to, you know, walking that path, it seems that quite often, like right now, there seems like so many people are looking for their purpose, you know, I mean, a particular set purpose. And, you know, and so far in our discussion, it seems like that, you know, there maybe is that one agenda word, the agenda word, you know, for life, but that its expression is just you know, ever changing. You know, I mean, I guess that so now when it comes time, I mean, part of the soul's agenda is the idea of what I read in the introduction, sensation-based mindset coaching. So I'm not familiar with sensation-based mindset training. So can you tell us a little bit? Because I mean, it would be interesting to see how that, and how that fits in, to the soul's agenda.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. So when we really look at psychology of decision making, we're really making decisions from sensation-based. Sensations are driving our behavior, even in subtle ways. Like every thought that we think actually has some kind of muscular contractile component to it. We've found that there is always a body piece to even the thoughts that we're thinking. So we think that our thoughts drive our decision-making, but actually there is an inherent body-mind component to it. So our sensations drive our behavior, and when we can really be present in the moment with the sensations that we feel and understand whether they are a part of being in alignment with our authenticity or being in alignment with past patterns and conditioning, then we can start to make decisions from a place of our authenticity and our wholeness rather than our past and our conditions and how somebody else thinks we should live our life. And the reason that the Find Your Soul Agenda process comes into play there is because it's a process that helps us to determine how we like to feel. So you were talking about this in terms of finding purpose. A lot of times people want to know, like, how they can find their purpose so that they can determine what to do. And specifically, most people, when they say that, are talking about an occupation. And the way that we talk about it, we help people to determine how they most like to feel, because that's actually coming from a sensation base. And then we help people to align their decisions, whether it's what they're going to do for dinner or what they're going to do for their occupation, from that sensation base. So that's where those things intertwine.
So from what I gather, I just want to kind of summarize it and make sure I have it right. The idea is that our decisions are based on previous sensation, previous or current sensations, and that's and those, it's the sensations that drive the thought, that drive the action.
Our decisions are made from our past sensory experiences. If we're not consciously choosing to align them with our authenticity.
Okay. And that makes a lot of sense, you know, that we're, you know, our body reacts, you know, to just even the thought, you know, the thought of cool lemonade, you know, and all of a sudden you got that, you know, that sensation. And it's interesting, you know, that so in order to get that awareness, to see that our situations are either based on past experiences or present. So, you know, when it comes time to, because you indicated that it's an awareness is important of the difference of between the two.
Yeah.
So, what is it? Is it an uneasiness that we experience that would be for us the key or the clue to, you know, examine how we're feeling, you know, examining that particular moment in time? So, what I'm trying to say is like, what source, the chicken or the egg? The spark of emotion or just an uneasiness.
This is a great question, and so I'll answer it kind of like this. If we're curious to know whether a pattern is coming from our past conditioning or really from our present awareness and who we want to be, it's really about understanding that some of our past conditioning is going to help us to get where we want to go in life and be the person we want to be in life, and some of it's not. So it's really about picking and choosing, because we are energy. Everything is energy, and energy is organized into patterns. Everything is energy. Energy is organized into patterns, just like us. So what the point is kind of to recognize our patterning and then ask ourselves, is this pattern one I want to keep, or is this pattern one that I want to modify? And the way that that shows up, like you were suggesting, is through discomfort.
Okay.
Right? Well, actually, sometimes it's pleasurable sensations as well. So we get to see, but most people would choose the pleasurable sensations every day, whether it's based on their pattern or not.
Right. Sometimes we would like to choose, but it is what it is. However it is that our awareness is jolted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it's really about looking at those patterns, bringing them into our conscious awareness, and then choosing, is this one I want to go forward in my life with, or is this one not working for me right now?
Okay. That's great. Okay. So we're about halfway through the show, so I want to take a quick break and invite listeners, if you have any questions, you can call in at 619-789. And for those of you listening live in the chat room, if you have any question there, feel free to type them in. And then when we come back, Annie, in your book, you talk about animals and animal totems and that kind of energy. I'd like to, kind of dive into that a little bit when we come back, okay?
Sure, yep.
Great. Okay, everyone stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Hello, this is Robert Sharp. I want to thank you for joining us and hope you are enjoying today's show. Just a reminder that we have a wealth of information and resources available on our website, www.biteradio.me. There is a calendar of upcoming shows, along with an archive link that will give you access to more than 1,200 shows we have had over the past 7 years. Also on the site are links to the products and services we provide, books, greeting cards, photography, and a wellness store. Our show is available as a free podcast on iTunes, and you can subscribe for free at the iTunes Store, or even quicker, there is a link on our website homepage. We are also on many social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc., and we also have buttons to those platforms on the top of our homepage. Our website, www.biteradio.me, has much for you to explore and enjoy. I also very much appreciate you supporting our guests, and especially today's guest. And now, back to the show.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. And again, end of last year, we added TuneIn and iHeartRadio to our distribution. So if you use any of those platforms, just go to our homepage, biteradio.me, and there's links on the front page there that you can subscribe for free to the podcast so you won't miss an episode. Again, today my special guest is Annie Anderson, and we have been talking about her book, Find Your Soul's Agenda. Again, you can find out more by visiting her website, which is annieanderson.com, and that's ANIanderson.com. And you can also find more about the book program, Find Your Soul's Agenda, at findyoursoulsagenda.com. So with that, I'd like to welcome Annie back. Hello, Annie.
Hi there.
Great. Well, before we jump into the animal aspect, I guess that was going to be a teaser. We do have a caller. his name is Bob, and he's calling from the Whitsunday Islands off of Australia. And he just had a comment and a question. So, hey, Bob. Good day.
Hey. Good day, Robert. Good day, Annie. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Yes,
can
yes,
you
I
Annie?
Can.
Right, okay.
Yep.
There seems to be a bit of a delay. And the dogs have just woken up and they're throwing their toys around. Every time I talk, they think we've got visitors, so they start playing up. Annie, it's so great to connect with you. The question simply is, how can I put it? I am content. and I'm so pleased that you're sharing what works for you. Is it okay with you if I quickly just share what works for me, as we're all unique? I'll be concise, Robert.
Okay.
Would that be okay with you, Annie?
Sure.
Of course.
Okay, Annie. I am content. And for me, all are equal, all are unique, and all are sovereign. I am master and commander of my life, and I take full responsibility for everything that happens in my life, everything in this life that I'm to create. Now, I resonated with your phrase, soul agenda. For me, as master and commander, I set my life purpose to be, to simply find my own truth. So, for me, my soul agenda is that, is to find my own truth. And how I wanted to experience this life, I set my own conscious life intention, which is, I am here to have a gentle, joyful, loving, healthy, and abundant life. So that's my conscious life intention, my mantra, if you like. And since I put that in place, that's how my life unfolds. You know, it's I let the universe do all the hard work. And I love what you said about should. I love what you said about should, would, could. For me, I'm very conscious of the words I use. And these words like should, would, or could, they all decry conscious choice. They just come from somewhere undefinable, like some sort of unknown sense of duty. So now if I make a choice, I make it consciously. And if it all goes purple, well, I just simply make another choice. But my heart is my only compass, and my intuition is my only guide. And it took me a while. It took me a leap of faith to actually I bet my life on trusting my intuition. It was that leap of faith that brought me to where I am now. Now, I believe the universe operates under the KISS principle, which is keep it simple, sovereign, because life is supposed to be simple. And now, if my life gets complicated, it's because my mind has slipped back into the driving seat. So I just kick my mind out of the driving seat and put my heart back in there. And yeah, and life is awesome. Life is awesome. I literally had to go out of my mind to come to my senses. And I'll just close with something that's really powerful for me. It's all about energy for me. It's all about feelings. Vibration is an energy, which is a feeling. You can feel a vibration. And I experience this life through my senses. I experience the sunshine warming my skin. I sense the sea breeze blowing through the hair on my body. And so for me, I feel, therefore I am. It's not I think, therefore I am. I feel, I experience this life through my feelings. I don't think it. And I've sent you a friend request, so I hope you'll accept me as a friend.
Oh, great.
It's nice to... It's nice to meet people on the same path. And thank you, Robert, for letting me share.
Sure, Bob, thanks. And there was just so much packed into what Bob had said. I mean, there were, you can tell just from the words he chose that, you know, when it comes to a soul's agenda, there were just so many to pick from. You know what I mean? It seemed like such a consistency in thought and in action that it was, that's real interesting.
I agree so much. It's compelling when there's that congruence, right? And I love, I feel, therefore I am. Yes, 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 yes. I love that.
Great. So, now, before the break, I mentioned about animals and the energy and animal totems also come out in a soul's agenda. So would you mind sharing with the listeners just, the overview of that kind of energy and how it might, kind of play out, in totems or agenda?
So I bring up the concept of animal totems in the book as a way to help people, especially people who have heard about this before, to really understand themselves. People who haven't heard about it before, as they hear about it, not only do they want to know more about what animal totems are, but they understand the information. So I really bring it up so that people can understand the information better. In certain cultures, there is an understanding that we can be guided by the Great Mother, the Divine, whatever God, whatever word that that tradition uses to mean whatever is greater than us, through the presence of animals. So, for example, if a deer showed up in life, it might be a sign that we need to be more gentle. Or if a tiger showed up, perhaps we have to tap into our own courage. And so that's, I think, probably where the animal totem stuff came from. And now a lot of people use animal totems in similar ways. The reason I think that it's important in terms of this information is this. With animals, and actually plants and trees, there's a certain energy about a certain group. So, for example, there's dogs, and there's cats, and there's elephants, and there's lions, and there's all these different kinds of animals, but there's a certain group. Whereas human beings are humans, you know, that's one group, the human family, and yet there's so much individuality. So with the animals, the elephants hold a certain energy, and the monkeys hold a certain energy. And so each animal group, and again, we could talk about this in terms of plants and trees, hold a certain energy. When we think of elephants, we think about this kind of energy. When we think about cows, we think about this kind of energy. But with humans, like, we're all so unique. So how is it that chi or life force energy is expressed in the human family? And I think that each of us really is a very unique expression, whereas with the animals and the plants and the trees, there are these groups that hold a similar energy. We as humans are very unique. So when we find our soul's agenda, we find our own, like, totem energy. Like, I am about being alive, and that's who I am in the world. If there was an Ani group, it would be, you know, the alive group. And so each of us has this very special, unique energy about us, and it's how life force is expressed through us.
You know, it's when it comes to animal energy. When I was reading about, you know, this particular aspect of the book, you know, the not just animal, but, you know, plants, flowers. That, you know, I'm generally not an animal person. You know, I'm the kind of person, I mean, I love, you know, seeing animals, you know, but having a cat or dog is not my thing. So this year was the first year that I was actually driven to, I do calendars, and usually I have flowers, and I have other things of nature, picture, you know. Those are the two that I usually do. But this last year, I was just, like, driven to do an animal, like a Going Wild, you know, 19 calendar, you know, with wild animals.
Mm-hmm.
And went to the zoo and, you know, got some great photos. But, I mean, it was just, it just felt like this year, animals and their energy
mm-hmm.
are going to play a big role. You know, I don't know why. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it was just one of the usually I'll follow urges, you know, or, you know, little bits of intuition. But that one was one that was bugging me that I actually had to do it. And it's great because in it, you know, there's a tiger and the cover is a lion, a lion in her pride, you know, and or lioness in her pride. You know, each month you can feel that particular energy, like you were talking about how it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, you know, this is kind of neat because this is a each month when people, you know, turn to that particular animal, they're going to see it every day. They're going to be reminded of that kind of energy, and
mm-hmm.
you know, and hearing you talk about the uniqueness, you know, and the animal energy, to me, it's just like, you know, maybe there's something we need to pay a special attention to this year.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, I love that so much. It's like reminding us to embody that certain energetic when we see it on the calendar, because it's important to become aware of the different facets of ourselves and hone the different facets of ourselves. And we can do that through animal energetics and animal totems. That's very cool.
Yeah, yeah, that's, you know, and like I say, I'm not typically an animal person, but it just seemed to me that, you know, whatever that drive was, it was that, you know, maybe for me, it was one of those cases I needed to, you know, make sure I pay attention to these unique energies throughout the year. And I got one picture of a pair of baboons, and one of them was just kind of sitting stoically toward, looking toward the camera, and the other one had his head turned, nose up in the air. I mean, it was like, I thought, boy, look at that. One was engaged, and one was like, have nothing to do with you, you know. Maybe that's going to tell me something.
That's great. There's a polarity for you right there.
yeah, it was. And it wasn't until I downloaded the picture that I saw the upturned face. I thought, wow, you know, thank you, you too. It was great to see you too. But anyway, now animal totem work is involved in the soul agenda process.
No, it's not. It's just a way to understand energy. Yeah, you know, energy can kind of be this esoteric, how do we talk about it kind of thing. And now, you know, when I started this stuff 20 years ago, no one wanted to talk about energy. I had to talk about it just to a group of individuals behind a closed door. And then it became kind of popular. And now I think it's like super popular. You could see advertisements talking about energy and authenticity and all these buzzwords. But do we really know what it means? You know? Do we really know what they're talking about? And so having studied energetics for such a long time, I like to use a few different ways of talking about energy. And animal totems is one of the ways that I like to help people to understand energy a little bit better, life force energy specifically.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think for some people, you know, that's a great way to work into them being able then to identify their own energy, you know, their own, how their own energy works, you know. And so it's kind of like a good back door into the whole idea of realizing. So because I think people, like you say, when people, you know, talk about, see, or interact with specific animals, it elicits feeling, and that's the spark to kind of get people thinking about their own energy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, some people love talking about energy. They could talk about it all day, and other people are like, nope, that sounds a little too weird for me. And so, you know, it's very practical, but finding ways to talk about it. So like you said, you're going through the back door, so it's unassuming, is really wonderful because it doesn't have to be esoteric. It doesn't have to be, I mean, it can be, and it's fun. Oh my God, I love talking about esoteric stuff. But from a practical standpoint, just so that more people can benefit, like how can we make this information available to more people so they can benefit? Because let's face it, the more people that feel, like Bob was saying, whole and content, the more people that feel content and whole and happy and joyful and alignment in their own lives, the better the world for everybody.
Yeah, I agree. And so now when it comes to, you know, the soul's agenda playing out in our lives, is the awareness of what my agenda is going to help? I mean, we talked about it helping you kind of make decisions more in alignment with that particular agenda. So the question is that, you know, what if I mean, people a lot of times will get the hint of what their soul wants them to do, but they do the other thing anyway. So it seems like we still have that good old free will in a way of in how we carry out that agenda, and some of the choices. No matter what choice you make, we're going to be learning something from it anyway. So, but if you keep it in alignment, then it's just much more peaceful. Maybe does it move more smoothly or more quickly in achieving that agenda?
Yeah,
if you're in alignment,
it can for sure. It can help you to achieve, shall we say, goals or intentions more quickly. It can help you to feel more content in life. I think that for me, one of the most important things is it's about understanding. So, for example, if you didn't know about gravity, you might even be scared to go outside. Life might be fearful for you if you didn't understand about gravity. If it was like this mysterious thing, I can't explain it, I don't understand it, kind of thing. But we know what gravity is. We understand the rules. We can probably, feel more comfortable going outside. We can take more risks. And in fact, we've found ways to almost defy gravity through planes and through, I'm thinking hang gliding or whatever. But we can do that because we understand gravity. And it's like that. I think that's one of the most important things for me. I love education. I'm a big believer in education. And there's no education really from a standardized perspective in terms of discovering who you are. They don't teach that in school.
Yeah.
So I think that it can really allow somebody to go ahead and spread their wings when they have an understanding. Like for people like Bob, for example, they have an inherent understanding of who they are, and they've been able to put their own language around it, and that's awesome, fabulous, and not everybody can. So for people who really feel like they haven't been able to spread their wings, then a process like this helps them to understand who they are, and the soul agenda process really embodies these laws of nature that are working on our life anyway. So even if you don't study the laws of nature, if you just look at your soul agenda, you'll be embodying the laws of nature. And so in that way, you can really spread your wings and live a full life that feels good.
It makes sense. The understanding would then, because then it removes a lot of unknown, and quite often fear is a major component in the unknown. So, eliminate that. So, one other aspect that you talk about in finding your soul's agenda is the idea that guilt can be reconciled. I think there's a lot of people out there that would really like to know how, the secret, behind that. Because I'm like a lot of people I've known in my circle are recovering Catholics, and guilt is, guilt is very, it's a big thing. Mm-hmm.
I hear you. I'm a recovering guiltaholic myself. the concept of guilt, inherent in the concept of guilt, which, by the way, guilt is the idea that I've done something bad or wrong. Inherent in the concept of guilt is that there is a right or a wrong. And so from a natural law perspective, there is no such thing as right or wrong. There is no such thing as good or bad. And this can be explained very practically, Robert, if you and I were walking down the street and we were to witness an event, you would have your ideas about what it was about or meant, and I would have my ideas about what it was about or meant. And we have our own ideas based on our own concept of life, And so we each have our own ideas about what life is and who we are and how we fit in it and other people. We have these filters that we look through. And when we're noticing guilt, for example, this is just one of the things, but when we notice guilt, we can understand, first of all, I'm looking through a lens of life as if there is a good or bad or right or wrong. And that's actually not aligned with truth. It's not aligned with natural law, and I just kind of explained practically how that works in our physiology,
right,
our psychology. So in order to reconcile guilt, we have to understand that there are always, the universe, us, situations are always in perfect balance. Thank goodness we don't have to think about how that works. The universe takes care of it for us. And so every situation is in perfect balance. There's always a balance between the benefits and the drawbacks of any situation. Every situation has equal amounts of benefits and drawbacks. It must be. That's universal law. That's how it works. And so if we're feeling guilty, one of the most powerful things that we can do is to actually reconcile our guilt, almost like we'd reconcile a bank account, and get in there and make a big long list of, and a long list, I would suggest no less than 20, of everything that is wrong with the situation, or, you know, that we did or perceive as wrong, on one side of the piece of paper, and then on the other side of the piece of paper, making an equally long, it has to be equally long, list of the benefits. And it's really profound. Whenever I've done this with people and myself, at first we have trouble coming up with benefits. And then once we get on a roll, we find that there are actually lots of benefits that we were really ignoring. And it really lends itself to a tremendous feeling, not only of contentment and peace, but of gratitude for all aspects of life, when we can realize the balance, realize the whole, rather than having our perception be stuck in a certain aspect or polarized.
Wow. You know, I would think that there would be a challenge, you know, especially if someone is looking at guilt of something, to have an equally long list, and equally on the positive side as the negative.
Mm-hmm.
Just because the whole idea is coming from that that perspective of, you know,
mm-hmm,
I did something wrong, you know, this is good, this is bad. So, that's good. I mean, you know, because, you know, guilt can really eat up people, you know. I've seen it many times, you know, where for me, we talk about our uniqueness, you know. So obviously then perspective of what is good and wrong is just as unique, and what someone feels guilty for doing, another person would think, what, you know, why are you feeling guilty for that, you know? It's
totally
one of those things that, you know, that it's and the reason I was kind of bringing that up, you know, the fact that you would have two different perspectives of what one might feel guilty for and one might not. When it comes to the soul's agenda, you know, we've been talking about individually, but what about now in relationships? I mean, is the soul's agenda of both, is it, you know, generally speaking, is one soul agenda wide enough that there can be that intersection if there are different agendas with under the same roof?
If I'm understanding you correctly, everybody's soul agenda is inherently complementary to everyone else's. And so we think that there are certain people who, you know, I don't think it really matters. Yeah, it does. I've seen it so many times now. It's so profound. I like to say that every person is our soulmate. And a lot of times in our culture, we talk about soulmates being romantic partners. So I get that. Like, I could talk about that in another way. But I've seen time and time again that every single person is our soulmate. They're here not only to help us grow, but to help us grow in certain ways. Like the person who I was talking about, who had the soul agenda of feeling empowered, before she was really living into her own empowerment, there was all kinds of evidence in her life that she was actually influencing others around her to feel disempowered themselves. And I know this because of talking to her family. And so once she started to step into her own empowerment, she started to influence others in their own empowerment. That is her unique energy and how she uniquely influences others naturally. And so I had the great privilege to find her husband's soul agenda, and we found that it was a very complementary, like hand in glove, complementary soul agenda to hers. Every time we've done this with couples, whether it's marital couples or business partners or even employee relationships and stuff like that, we find that everybody's soul agenda is just this hand in glove kind of phenomenon. It's really pretty powerful.
Okay. Well, I mean, in the image that came to my mind when you were talking about that was like of a jigsaw puzzle. You know, there's like one big picture and everybody's got that little connection, little contribution to, to the whole. So,
Yeah.
Well, that's good, you know, and I think with that in mind, then I would think that people would take, with the idea of being complementary, that you know, conflict and division and those kinds of things are maybe a way to start to recognize or have a discussion and recognize about the connectedness and kind of the complementary notion that everyone around us is.
Because, you know, relationships are here to help us to grow and evolve. And so it's that contrast that we experience sometimes, that's that rub that we experience sometimes that actually helps us to deepen ourselves and our own experience.
Okay, well, great. Well, honey, gosh, we are already at the end of the show. I can't believe it went by so fast.
Oh, wow.
so now is there anything that you might want to share with listeners about you know, finding your soul's agenda that maybe we didn't talk about, or something that's important that maybe people have experienced the process had to say?
Sure, yeah. You know, I'm a big believer in doing what works, and so this process isn't going to be the thing that everybody chooses to pick up or needs. You know, for the perfect person really to do this work is the people that haven't been able to, like, I love the jigsaw example, puzzle example. Like, it seems like there's different disenfranchised parts of your life or pieces of yourself that you haven't really been able to connect. One of the things that people say most often when they do this work is, oh, my God, you just made my whole life make sense. And that's really where it's at. If that's you, or you feel like, you know, you wonder at night when you go to bed, gosh, what's wrong with me? Or there's something wrong with my life. Or I really feel like I haven't been able to really find my purpose, find my passion, find my calling, know why I'm alive. And this is such a great process to do that. As you said, I'm on a mission to make sure that nobody says to themselves, what's wrong with me, ever again. Because when we understand our life in this way, we don't have to ask that question anymore. We know that everything, without a doubt, that everything is showing up for us, for our own development, and not just as a lesson, like, whoa, that sucks, that was a lesson, but actually so that we can get what we want out of life. We're here to enjoy.
Yeah, boy, I like that. You know, I've often, when it comes to the idea of, you know, the whole life as a lesson, I would think that was just a crappy way of going about, you know, learning, you know, that, but the idea of being able to learn and grow from positive experiences, you know, is just so important to celebrate and make happen.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, thank you, Ani, for your time today. I've really enjoyed speaking with you, and it's been a real treat.
Oh, I agree. This is so much fun. Thank you, Robert.
You're very welcome. Again, everyone, today my special guest has been Ani Anderson. We've been talking about Find Your Soul's Agenda. Again, you can find out more about Ani by visiting her website, which is anianderson.com, and that's anianderson.com. Or you can also find out more information about the book and program by visiting findyoursoulsagenda.com. www.bringinginspiration.com. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show, and until we meet again.
Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BITERADIO.ME. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Byte Radio Me, and our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world and to the lives of those you touch.